Looking at our order of service, the title for our communion Sunday's message is, what's it?
More.
Want more of Jesus. Yes. Anybody want a little bit more of Jesus? We got some exciting things for Jesus in here today. Thank you, Lord. What is the meaning of the Lord's Supper? That's our focus for today. Meals are special. How many like eating? Okay. Katie is so funny. When there's something that she and I really like, we'll look at each other and go, that is just so good. We just can't wait. Oh, wow. Meals are special. Now, I'm sure each of us have a special meal. Is that right? A special meal. Okay. And did you all, when you were growing up, your parents let you choose what the meal was going to be on your birthday? Okay, they said no. On your birthday. But not okay. All right, some of us did, right? Well, Susan and I, our parents did that for us. So every year, we had barbecue ribs on my birthday, and we had pork chops on hers. So you know, we got to choose what happened that day, you know? So I love the ribs, y'all. Ooh, yeah. But you know what, saints? There is no other meal more special than the one that we're about to partake in today, which is the Lord's Supper. Now, some call it the Lord's Supper. Some say communion. Some say Holy Communion. But saints, it is a very special time that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, last weekend was Memorial Day weekend. And as a nation, we remember those men and women who have sacrificially given their lives in the wars our nation has fought. We went to the cemetery, and there's a lot of people at Memorial Day, and a lot of flags, and a lot of honoring and remembering was going on. Praise God. Well, this Communion Sunday, I think it would be wise for us to remember someone who fought the greatest battle that there ever was. And it was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He defeated sin. He took the punishment for our sin. And he willingly gave his life on the cross that we might have life abundantly and eternally. Scripture says, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Saints, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are expressing our love to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're saying, thank you, Lord. We remember what you did for us. Saints, let's join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord. Today, Lord Jesus, we worship you because of who you are. Our Lord, our Savior, our King, our friend. You are wonderful. You are marvelous. You are glorious. You are loving, faithful, and true. And we praise you. We celebrate you. We remember and honor you this day. Help us, Lord, to so hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that in understanding we may believe, and in believing we may follow you in our faithfulness and obedience, seeking to honor and glorify your name through our lives. And we ask it ahead of time. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Saints, if you would look, there's a sermon outline sheet in your order of service. You might kind of follow along there. Each month, we here at Glendale Life Community Church partake of the Lord's Supper. And in our New Testament text, Matthew 26, verses 17 through 30, Jesus was explaining why we observe communion in our churches today. Jesus was using the bread and the wine to show the disciples that they should remember what he was about to do on the cross of Calvary. Jesus broke the bread and he held it up, and referring to his own body, he said, take and eat. And then the blood that he was about to shed. And he referred to the promise, the new covenant that he was making with us. Saints, Jesus' blood is still powerful today. How many know that? That Jesus' blood is still saving sinners today. Jesus' blood is still setting us free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He said, I am the truth. All right, praise God. Jesus' blood is still sufficient. And so the Lord's Supper becomes a memorial service. We're commanded in the Word of God to remember the earthly body that Jesus gave up for our sins. And we are to remember the promise that he has made with us now. What can wash away all my sins? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Saying there is a power in the blood of Jesus that supersedes any power. That power is able to transform the very simple into powerful weapons. That's the blood of Jesus. So we praise God for the awesomeness and the mystery of the power in the blood of Jesus. Now, saints, learning to claim that power of the blood of Jesus is very important. We need to pray. We need to pray that the Lord would fill us more of Jesus, more than we might have the deliverance and protection and power that God wants us to have in our lives. God wants us to experience the fullness of joy and wonder of our Lord Jesus, our Savior. You see, there is wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. How many know life is hard? Life ain't easy. No, it ain't easy. And many times as we're living this life, we're journeying on, we suffer different kinds of attacks from the enemy. Whether it's the world, the devil, many attacks on our spirit. You're just going along and somebody says some words that, cut you in the back. And as you're trying to get this knife out, then you turn around somebody and smack you in the face. Just, some days are like that. Some days are like that. You can be just going on your journey and a selfish act. You just can't believe they just did what they did. And it emotionally wounds you. Then you get an attack from Satan. All of a sudden, it's putting thoughts in your mind. It's, where did that come from? All kinds of attacks against us. Now, saints, when these things are happening in our lives, we need to remember the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus wraps itself around our spirits and around our souls to protect us and to be a shield about us. The blood of Jesus lifts our heads as he heals our spirits. Amen. In our lives. Now the wound may hurt, the wound may be tender for a while, and it may even leave a scar, but the blood of Jesus is always, everybody say always, always at work in the middle of the hurts in our lives, always protecting and healing us. The blood of Jesus heals. And yes, the blood of Jesus has the power to deliver. Were you ever in a situation you need deliverance? Oh yeah, I've been in a few, amen. I needed deliverance. I'm quick fasting in somebody's hurry, amen. Praise God. The blood of Jesus has the power to deliver. It is the power of the blood of Jesus that can break the yoke of bondage of sin on our lives. Sin can get a grip and won't let us go. But the blood of Jesus can set us free. Whatever it is. And Jesus does not just forgive us, saints, and leave us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He doesn't leave us forsaken and just knock around. Hallelujah. But the power of Jesus, we can experience freedom from that sin. You set us free and we don't have to go back to it no more. Thank you, Lord. Now Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled. yoke of bondage. You don't need to go back. Touch your neighbor and tell them, you don't need to go back. You don't have to go back. Jesus has made it so that you don't have to go back. Amen. The blood. Whatever Satan has wrapped around your life right now, my friend, and seems to be choking the very life out of you right now, guess what? The blood of Jesus can break it off and set you free. Set you free. Set you free. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus gives us not only the power to deliver us and set us free, but to overcome. Anybody just want to overcome? Oh, have the victory. Only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians 1:13-14 says, for God has rescued us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Saints, if you would look in your notes, we can see that the Lord's Supper was instituted in the midst of fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. Verse 26, it begins saying, while they were eating. See, they were fellowshipping. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. So saints, this should be a reminder to us the importance of fellowship among the believers. Guess what? We need one another.
Yes.
We all need somebody to lean on at various times in our lives.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Fellowship was instituted there at the Lord's Supper. Now looking at the notes, what is the first item of fellowship tell us that we need to be? Be devoted. Everybody say devoted. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10. This is all a part of fellowship that Jesus instituted. What's the next, saints?
Honor.
Honor. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Honor one another. Romans 12:10. What's the next? We are to encourage one another. Thessalonians 5:11. And then after encouraging one another, what are we to do? Accept one another. Even with our funny little quirks. All of us got some funny little way about us, don't we?
Yes.
Some of them ways aren't that funny, but they make us unique, amen. And we got to accept each other, amen?
Yes.
Amen. Romans 15:7. Then what are we to do? We're to serve one another. Galatians 5:13. What a privilege to be able to serve one another.
Yes.
And then what does Romans 14:15 tell us? Instruct one another.
Yes.
We can teach one another.
Yes.
Even the young ones have something to teach us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We do instruct one another.
Yes.
And then what, saints? Carry one another's burdens. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pains, we all have sorrow.
Yes.
But strong in the Lord, together we stand to face our tomorrows.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, lean on me.
Lean on me.
Amen. Oh, I'll be there for you to lean on.
Yes.
Carry each other's burdens.
Yes.
What's next, saints?
Be kind and compassionate to one another.
That means we're not going to be using those words. I don't care what kind of trouble you're in. I don't care. I don't care shouldn't even be in our vocabulary, okay? Just say, gone. That doesn't fit in with be kind and compassionate. Kindness and compassionate cares. We care. What is the theme of our church? We love and we care. That's being kind and compassionate. Don't say, I don't care. Don't say that. What does Ephesians 4:32 say?
Forgive.
We need to say this three times real loud. Forgive one another. Aware that we hurt, and we gotta forgive each other because Christ told us to.
Yes.
Christ told us to forgive one another.
Yes. Right.
Now this next one we need to say three times too. All right. So here we go. What is it?
Submit to one another. Submit to one another. Submit.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Scripture says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
That's right.
Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Don't look at your neighbor funny right now. Okay. But let's encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching.
Yes.
Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I want to ask each of us today, are you hungry for more of Jesus today?
Yes, Lord.
Are you hungry for more of Jesus? We need to desire more of Jesus, more of His power, more of His love, His kindness, His compassion. We need more of Jesus. There's a hymn of old, More About Jesus. And it goes, more about Jesus, what I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will, discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, in His word, holy communion with my Lord. Hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom's pleasure increase, more of His coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More about Jesus who died for me. That should be our declaration today. More about You, Lord Jesus. Well, Saints, communion is not only a time of remembrance. It's also a time of appreciation. Everybody say appreciation. Hallelujah. How many feel blessed when someone takes the time and comes and says thank you to you? Thank you for something you did or said or who you are. Just thank you. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? It does. Well, communion is a time that we can express our thanks to God. We come to the Lord, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that You've done for me. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus left heaven in all of His glory. And He came down. Scripture tells us He was born in the stable. He was born with the donkeys and all of that all around Him in a little stinky stable to be persecuted and then to be prosecuted and then to be whipped and hung on a cross and died for our sins. Died for you and died for me. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. I think about the song written by Andre Crouch that Gwen Coates has sang for us over the years. And it goes, how can I say thanks for all the things You've done for me? Things so undeserved. How many know we didn't deserve anything Jesus did? We didn't deserve not a thing. Yet You gave to prove Your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to You, dear Lord. And then the chorus goes, to God be the glory.
Yes.
To God be the glory.
Yes.
To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Oh, yes.
Praise Your name, Lord. Communion is a time of remembrance, and it's also a time of appreciation. Now, Saints, communion is also a time of proclamation. Everybody say proclamation.
Proclamation.
When we partake in the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming to others that we believe that Jesus Christ indeed is the Savior of the world. That He is the Lord of lords. And that He's the Savior of your heart. Of your life.
I know He is.
Scripture says we proclaim His death until he comes again. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we partake in Holy Communion, we are proclaiming to others that we believe that yes, Jesus, it's all about you. You who are the Savior of the world. Also, saints, the Lord's Supper is to be a time of anticipation. Everybody say anticipation.
Anticipation.
The Lord's Supper is not just for us to remember and look back. The Lord's Supper is a reminder for us to look forward. Because Jesus says, I'm coming back again. And just like he said he would, Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back like he said. He's coming back.
He's coming.
Now the Lord's Supper, it links us to his first coming and to his second coming. Amen. So every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are to be reminded that Jesus is coming back again.
Yes.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Now, we not only remember and not only appreciate and proclaim and anticipate, but saints, as we partake in the Lord's Supper, it's also a time of examination. Everybody say examination.
Examination.
Examination. This Greek word, examine, it means to qualify. Exam means to qualify. You pass an exam, you qualify for whatever your teacher wanted you to be able to show. So a lot of times when we get ready to go and purchase a car or home or boat, something big, we go to get pre-qualified. Is that not right? We go to get pre-qualified.
Right.
Now there are a couple of things that we need to pre-qualify before we can partake in the Lord's Supper. Now, the first thing we need to pre-qualify is to make sure, my friend, that you are saved.
Yes.
That you have opened your heart, you've accepted the Lord Jesus,
yes,
you believe that he suffered and died and rose again for you.
Yes.
You have confessed him as Lord and Savior of your life.
Yes.
That is the first prerequisite.
Yes.
And if you cannot say that you have never asked Jesus into your heart, then praise God you're here today.
Yes.
Because before this service is over, you're going to have a chance to come and give us the privilege to pray with you.
Yes.
And you don't have to leave here without him being your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Now for those of us who say, well, yeah, I've invited Jesus Christ into my heart, so I'm qualified to take the Lord's Supper. Well, saints, there's another pre-qualification. And that second one is, you need to be right with God.
Yes.
We need to be right with God. Now, how do we know if we are right with God? The first is, say with me, identify.
Identify.
Identify. You have to identify any sin that is in your life. You got to identify. You got to take a moment and reflect in your heart, on your life, and say, Lord, is there something in my life that is not pleasing to you? Something that is not of you, Lord Jesus. Help me to identify the sin in my life. Reveal to me anything that causes separation between you and me. And then secondly, after identifying the sin, we got to rectify. Everybody say rectify.
Rectify.
And scripture tells us how to rectify. It's to confess it. Everybody say confess it.
Confess.
We just need to acknowledge our sin before God. Say, Lord, I am sorry.
Yes.
Forgive me.
Yes.
And scripture says, the Lord said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. So that leads us to the third thing. Identify, rectify. Everybody say purify.
Purify.
Purify. That's that cleansing. That's that clean up. Oh, it feels good when you get out of the shower bath. You're just clean. Amen. Feels good to be clean.
Yes.
Not only confess the sin, but get rid of it.
Thank you.
And get away from anything that would lead you back to that sin.
Yes.
Because of the power of Jesus, you don't have to go back. You must not go back.
Come on now.
Even if you have to go deep, deep, deep down and say, Lord, is there any grudges I got against somebody?
Come on.
Any bitterness down in them?
Come on now.
You're going deep then.
Yes.
But it feels good to get clean.
Yes. Yes.
It feels good to get clean.
Yes.
Now, I want to ask you, at your house, how do you call your family to dinner? Anybody? What do you say? Come and get it. That's good, Frank. That's good. Come and get it. Hey. Dinner's ready. Okay, nice. Names. Names. All right. I say, dinner serves. Yeah. So, you say what? Let's eat. That's good. Let's eat. So that everybody knows to come. Amen.
Yes.
All right. Well, whenever there is a special meal, we can't wait to hear those words, come to the table. I love them words, come to the table. Jesus has set the table, saints, and has invited us to come to the table. Now, there are several things that we need to bring with us to the table. First of all, before we sit down to a meal, we need to clean our hands. All right, you don't go out working on the car, digging in the garden, riding a bicycle, all the things that we do, and then come right in, sit down and eat dinner. Amen? No, that's right. And I heard a mom say, amen, Patricia. You wash up first. This is why the Bible tells us to examine our lives before we partake in Holy Communion.
Yes.
We may see something that needs to be confessed. We may see something that needs to be cleaned up and took out. You know, when we were kids, we occasionally, I know most of you all were very good kids, but occasionally, amen, some of us had to go to bed without supper, all right? Because we had did something then. We really had our parents upset, all right? But when we come to Jesus with remorse and repentance, we find forgiveness. We find restoration. We find healing. We find peace. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, some people get so burdened by their sins, instead of asking for forgiveness and for the Lord to just cleanse them, they just figure they're too unworthy to partake in Holy Communion. And they allow the tray to pass by without partaking. I want to say to us today, saints, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy to partake in Holy Communion. But if we've trusted in Christ, we've asked for forgiveness. He has promised to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I know He will.
And He invites us to come to the table.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And not only invites us, He authorizes.
Yes.
Come to my table.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Secondly,
saints, before dining, we need a good appetite. Everybody say a good appetite.
A good appetite.
What would happen if you were invited to someone's home for dinner, but before you got to their house, you stopped at McDonald's and got a milkshake, a Big Mac, you got a large supersized fry, and then you looked in your glove compartment and took out two candy bars and bag of potato chips, and then you looked in the side of the door and ate a package of Twinkies. All right. Now, after all that junk food, you think you got an appetite to eat the good stuff? The meat, the potatoes, the green beans, the lemon pie. Amen. The sweet potatoes. The rice. What do you mean? I better stop thinking about that. You don't have an appetite for that. For the good stuff. And Paul tells us you can't drink the cup of the Lord and at the same time drink the devil's cup. You can't come to the Lord's table and at the same time sit at the table with demons. Now, some of us, we come to the Lord's table first Sunday. It ends Saturday night. We're slipping, dipping, clubbing, slumming, whatever you want to call it. All those things that are the table with demons. Now, saints, God offers us a substantial meal. I mean, we would be spiritually satisfied. It just fills our spiritual hunger. But when we stuff ourselves with the junk food of sin in our lives, we lose our appetite, saints, for the banquet that God has prepared for us. We need Psalm 34:8 where it says, "Taste and see how good the Lord is." Oh, you are good, Lord. Your goodness is sweet, Lord. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Now, I found this to be interesting. Dr. Leroy Creasy of Cornell University has identified a chemical in grapes that reduced the risk of heart disease. Dr. Leroy reports in the Journal of Applied Cardiology that grape juice lowers cholesterol and cleanses the heart of life-threatening impurities. Our God is so awesome. Grape juice, amen. Grape juice, it represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. There's healing for our hearts. Amen. In the blood of Jesus. Yes. It cleanses our spiritual hearts of sin. Yes. And sin's deadly effects on our lives. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
You see, saints, we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We're exposed to sin, but we don't have to yield to temptation. We need an appetite. We need an appetite for God, more of Jesus, the things of God. An appetite for what God has for us. You know what God's got for you? It's for you. Hallelujah. But when we're so dwelling on things of the world, our eyes looking around, Scripture says, guard your eyes. Guard your heart. Guard and keep your feet. Don't let your feet just take you anywhere. You guard your feet. Guard your ears.
That's it.
Now, you know somebody isn't even caring what God thinks. Why are you listening to them giving you counsel about your children or your marriage? They don't even care about God. Guard your ears. Watch your eyes. Our eyes, I tell you, they be seeing things. Don't we start, ooh, look at that. Ooh, I want that. Whether it's a purse, a pair of shoes, or somebody else. We ain't got no business looking at. All right. Watch your eyes. Hallelujah. Jesus promises those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Fill us with more of you, Lord Jesus. What does it mean when Jesus says we'll be filled? I think a lot of us are living on empty. We're living on empty. We go day to day without studying the word, in prayer, devotion. And we just wonder, why is the devil whooping my butt every day?
Come on now.
We go out without the armor of God.
From
the helmet of salvation all the way down to our feet, shodded with the gospel of peace. We come out of our house butt naked.
That's right.
Now this is the season when a lot of people really are out there about butt naked. Oh, so when I see them, I say, oh God, help them to know that you love them so much. And they don't have to be seeking the things of the world. That all they need is you, Lord Jesus. Help them to find you. I pray up and down the streets over there. I just help them, Lord, to find you. That's who they're really looking for. They just don't know it. Help them to find you. But spiritually, some of us are going out butt naked. And the devil is just shooting those darts. He goes, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. That's how we going through life. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Because we're naked. We haven't put on the armor of God, saints. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We are spiritually starving.
That's right.
But how much more different to know that God loves us individually. And God says, I got a plan for you. You. I got a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. Not to harm you, but give you a hope and a future. Jesus. It's Jesus that fills our day with fulfillment and satisfaction.
Yeah.
It's Jesus that gives us significance.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out in the street half butt naked, trying to get somebody that's not going to treat you right most likely anyhow. What you need is Jesus.
Yeah.
Who we need is Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. The saints, when we're dieting, we also need time. Everybody say time.
Time
to enjoy the moment.
Yes.
Now, going through college, I worked at 3 different McDonald's. One here in Cleveland and 2 in St. Louis. All right, so I worked in those McDonald's, and I learned something working there. It just doesn't go in McDonald's, but it goes to Burger King and some of the other fast food restaurants. Now, the seats at McDonald's are designed so that people won't get too comfortable. Am I right, Mike? Mike knows. They're designed so that we'll go in there and eat and get up and leave. Get out. Get out. So that you can make room for more customers. They want you to move in and move out. I know this. Now, in Europe, when you sit at a table, it is your table for as long as you wish. You can sit there all day long and just enjoy yourself. All right? The whole afternoon, the whole day if you want to. Nobody even urges you to go. So when American tourists go to Europe, they complain that the European waiters keep too low a profile. The reason is they don't want to appear to be trying to scoot you out. They want you to take your time and enjoy yourself. We can't even hardly relate to that as Americans. We are in such a hurry. And we run in, we look at the food, we go. Gotta go. And we're gone. No time, say. We just inhale. Gotta go. When we partake in the Lord's Supper, we come to savor the moment. We come to reflect and say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate all you've done for me. I love you today, Lord. I love you, Lord. So our spiritual meal, Jesus should be our focus why we're here. The center of our worship is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Praise your name.
Now the fourth thing when we dine, saints, is harmony. Everybody say harmony.
Harmony.
Harmony at mealtime is important. Now I heard about a family. They got together for a meal. Before long, the conversation got going. They started talking about current events, and the discussion went into politics and all kinds of hot topics. And not everybody shared the same viewpoint. And pretty soon, the enjoyment of the meal went like this. The meal got ruined as the arguments began. Now, I just heard about that family. I can't tell you how many times. Now, we can't expect everyone in the congregation to agree on every issue. Amen? But we are expected to get along. God asks us to get along. In verse 17, Paul makes a good point that says, we are one body, and we partake of one bread. Conflict, tension, disharmony can ruin a perfectly good meal. One thing we don't bring to the table is divisiveness. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now the fifth thing we bring as we dine is gratefulness. Everyone say gratefulness.
Gratefulness.
We need to be grateful for the meal. I like flipping through different catalogs, and I looked through this one catalog, and I saw an apron. It was so cute. I wouldn't get it for myself, but I got somebody in mind to get it for. And it, because I don't cook too much. But it said, kiss the cook. Kiss the cook. All right? That means the one that has gone through all that trouble to put the meal together, you need to take some time and say, thank you. Thank you. Because the mashed potatoes, thank you, just. Enjoy their Gratitude. We need to not take it for granted. You know, the children of Israel, God gave them manna every day. And they just, oh, manna again. Oh, where's the gravy? Where's the hot sauce? Where's this? Where's that? Oh, all they did was complain.
That's right.
Saints, we need to appreciate the cost of that meal. It cost Jesus his life. Jesus has prepared a meal for us that cost him his life. We should appreciate, saints, Jesus. We should appreciate our worship committee. Our worship committee sets this table up every first weekend of the month. The worship committee has it all set up. We should thank our deacons. After every communion service, the deacons come in and they take it all down and see to it that everything goes where it needs to go. We don't throw any of it away. We either make sure the birds get it or we eat it ourselves. The deacons handle that. We need to thank them. And even more, we should appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. Otherwise, we miss the whole point. How sweet it is to be loved by you, Lord Jesus. What love. What sacrifice. What a gift of life you've given us. What blood. Hallelujah. I pray today that each of us have experienced